Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Hey, Tommy, it's Ben Vanel here. Great to be with you on another week of Filthy Casuals. We've had a lot of milestones in the history of our podcast, and we've come up on another one. That's right, Adam has changed his Zoom background.
It's a momentous day. It's a huge occasion. If the background does fit, then I must enjoy it. I've got the OJ trial as my background.
Yeah, people can't see it. Yeah. Like they didn't know what that joke was, as you were saying.
I reckon they could have fucking figured it out with context.
So now you've set yourself kind of an alarming precedent where you've had funny ones the last two times we've recorded. Mm. And so now you've made a rod for your own back here where, much like the way that you sign off the show every week, you're now going to have to do this every week for our benefit.
No, I can stop if I want.
No, but you've established a tradition and now you have to follow it every single week.
Not a chance. I'll make them less and less funny, if anything. They'll just end up being like the Pepsi logo and stuff where like, oh, it's not
that's
even really...
I'm fine to see that.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Well, that's the same strategy you've taken with the outro, so that's fine.
How about this as a theory? Literally any Zoom background that isn't just like... a landscape is funny. Mm. At this point in where we're at with our relationship to Zoom and how fresh it is for a lot of people, if you put like just even a reference, like, yes, you're like the Zoom version of Family Guy, but it's funny enough. This is all this is. I'm being Zoom Family Guy now. Lois. What a great impression. of Brian the dog.
I know what you mean. I told you guys before we started recording that I think I'm going to get a new laptop in the next week or so. And I mean, my current one is quite old, so a big part of the motivation for getting a new one is just so that I can have a funny background on Zoom, because my current computer is too old to allow me to do that. And I'm like, if this is the world now, then I want it on the fun. It's worth the money to upgrade and be able to have all sorts of... have a picture of Little St. James Island as my backdrop when I'm chatting with friends and family.
Well, now, you know, we can't spend the money to, for example, go to Little St. James Island, so you might as well spend that on getting a new laptop and pretend you're there.
Exactly, yeah.
Little St. James Island sounds like it was like the cartoon sequel to like the movie that was called St. James Island, but then the cartoon series was about Little St. James Island before he was big.
Okay.
It's like Little Elvis Jones.
Yeah. When there's little at the start of something, I think of like Young Indiana Jones,
Tiny Toons.
Baby Twin Peaks.
It is. I mean, that is a weird thing though, to have like the baby version of all those people. There's kind of a strange irony in that idea.
Some of them would love it. Some of them wouldn't be that much younger.
I think baby Twin Peaks was the code name for Little St. James Island.
Yeah. So we got to quickly follow up on a story from last week that more details have come to light on this bizarre release of a new Cooking Mama game that was very quickly pulled from retailers and online and e-shops and everything like that. I don't know if we had that much detail last week about exactly what had happened, other than just this game had appeared and then disappeared, and that it was apparently running pretty shittily. I'm trying to think how much of this story has developed just in the last week.
We speculated entirely, I think, about the actual background of it. We knew the facts, but I think we just sort of assumed maybe there was some sort of conflict between the developer and the publisher. But now we know it's a quality issue.
So, as was my understanding, this version of Cooking Mama was given to a different developer than the developer that normally makes it.
Yeah,
they started going with it. The original holder of the license got a look at it and thought it looked like shit. They were very unhappy with it, and they essentially canned it. But then this developer just kept going with it.
Yeah,
just went rogue and continued to make it and released it, and somehow got it out there and into the shops for just long enough before the company that owns the license or whatever really noticed. Is that basic? So it's essentially like a fan-made game that somehow managed to get officially released under the banner of Cooking
Mama. That's basically it. That's my understanding of it. They were making it. They presented it to... They actually showed, like, they showed the company. I forget what the name is. And they just said, it's not good enough. You can't release this. But then there's all this other stuff about Planet Entertainment that sounds really dodgy as well. Like, the guy... Apparently, it's only existed for, like, a year. But the guy on his LinkedIn profile lists himself as being the head of Planet Entertainment since 2001. Like all of this weird stuff. They did initially say that there was going to be blockchain tech, like, you know, integrated into the game in a media release. Then they later denied that that was actually happening and deleted the media release off their website. It sounds like the company, and I don't want to cast any aspersions, you know, but they sound kind of dodgy top to bottom. To me,
well, the fact that they got told we don't want this, and then they were like, "Oh, we'll just keep making it."
Yeah,
seems like a bizarre use of time.
Yeah, but they got it out there, and now, like, I reckon copies of this will be one of those things where they, maybe not, but you could see it being one of those things where it's like a sought after, like, "Oh, what a weird thing."
I mean, like I want to play it.
yeah. Anything that's rare does the value does go up.
Yeah,
I think it occupies that great sort of area of, something that is a collector's item and costs a lot of money in spite of the fact that it is incredibly bad. So no one wants to get their hands on it because it's like, oh, it's like this masterpiece and no one's gotten to play it. It's like, I just want to have it to be able to say that I have it. I'll play it for 5 minutes and then, like, IGN reviewed it and gave it a 3.
Yeah.
Which that's so funny to review a game that essentially shouldn't have ever existed.
Yeah. None of your readers can get their hands on it. It doesn't matter. And were they just lucky enough to have downloaded? Did this company send out like review copies or review codes before?
Well, they mustn't have because we didn't get any. So, and we get review codes for every single release that ever comes out. So.
Yeah.
It makes sense, though, that that Planet Entertainment would want to get it out there. They would want to sell as many copies as they can. I mean, sure, a 3 out of 10 review isn't selling any copies, but they would have just been acting like everything was normal.
Well, and they know that when you know, the penny drops, they're getting out of there. So they've put extra time into this game for some fucking reason. They definitely want to milk it as much as they can.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing to be like...
I just don't understand what...
To come at, like, we're going to make most of a Cooking Mama game, then show it to the people who made that thing without prior, it sounds like, without them being tasked with making this thing, and then they showed it and were told, oh, this isn't good enough. They just made it of their own volition, is that right?
They
got the license. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They did farm it out. They farmed it out to this company who, like, had this... vague sounding pedigree of like, oh, the guy had worked under some other person at some other good company. Like, it really just sounds like they wanted to get some capital and get away with putting out a shit product.
Well, now they're gonna what is the company who owns Cooking Mama? I forget as well. It starts with an S, I want to say. Whatever it is, they're seeking legal action now or considering it.
Yeah.
It's one of those great things where you have to wonder, like, with the developer, what's the end game? Like, did they seriously expect that they'd be able to just, like, have this in stores and be and on the eShop after they've been told to stop working on it, and that this license holder would just be cool with it. Like, I don't understand what the grand plan is. Like, it just...
That's, yeah.
Do you guys... I think you guys would know this story. There's like a great Melbourne comedy story about how this guy who went into a late night gig at the Hi-Fi Bar during the comedy festival and was like, "Oh, Des Bishop is meant to be on tonight." Des Bishop is a famous comedian. This guy turns up, this open mic guy turns up and goes, "Oh, he actually can't make it. He told me he's sick. And so he told me to just have his spot. He said it was fine if I just have his spot." And the door people kind of confused go, "Okay." And so he goes backstage. And
what?
Then 15 minutes later, Des Bishop turns up and the door people are like, "I thought you were sick. Like, that guy said he's taken your spot." And Des goes, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I've never heard of who that guy is." So he didn't know Des, had never met Des, hadn't run this past Des. This was just his attempt to, like, get his way onto a gig that he hadn't been booked for. And it, I've always been obsessed with it because it's like, how did you think this would pan out?
Yeah.
Like, you can't have honestly pictured a scenario where you walk onto stage and do well. Like, I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense.
But this is that mentality. This is that same, like, John Cusack holding the fucking boombox over his head mentality. Yeah, of like, sure, if I do something shit but then it's good enough, people will go, "Oh, actually, yeah, nah, you know what, they are the best."
This is the king of comedy. That guy is the king of comedy. Yep. Like, yeah, it's exactly something that Rupert Pupkin would have done.
Right, right,
it's
right.
Insane. Yeah.
This is the king of video games version where they've got Shigeru Miyamoto tied up in a, in a chair.
They walk out onto the stage and poorly bake cake or something.
Yeah,
flip they a got pancake, yep, falls on the ground.
Yep.
Cutouts of Mario and super, shit at home that they talk to every night.
Super Pupkin.
There you go.
We were talking last week when we were reviewing Resident Evil 3 about would they do a this style remake of Resident Evil 4, mm-hmm, and there seems to have been rumor during the week suggesting that that's what they'll do.
Yeah, it looks like they are, which isn't, you know, too surprising. It makes sense that they would want to keep this money train going because those remakes have done very well. Mm. Resident Evil 4 is obviously a bit of a different case to 2 and 3, where the current version of Resident Evil 4, like, A, you can buy that game on the PS4, you know, all kind of HD and whatever. And it's
pretty modern.
Exactly, yeah. The template that 2 and 3 remakes have been using is the Resident Evil 4 template, which still holds up today. So I don't know what their plan is for a remake.
I have heard from people who've gone back and played it recently that control-wise it feels a little tricky,
right,
compared to like a modern release. Like, some of the aiming and the movement definitely does make you go, "Oh, that's right. This is a little less kind of fluid and precise than you kind of used to modern games playing." So it's one of my favorite games of all time, so I'd be pretty happy to play a fully upscaled remake of it.
Yeah,
sure.
I think it's just that the gap between 2 and 3 to their original versions and 4 to this whatever hypothetical remade version, it will be a smaller gap. It won't be quite as much of a, like, "Wow, they've completely made a new game" feeling.
They're not doing it from the ground up. It'd be sick if their remake of 4, because it's already in that style, they go backwards, so it's all just like static rooms. Like,
yeah, that'd be cool.
Fixed camera that you're like just moving around in the one space.
Fuck yes. Like those kind of weird warpy PS1 polygons jumping all around.
Yes.
That'd look fucking
rad. Yeah. I'd love to see more of that. You know, when is a company going to have the guts to do a demake?
Oh,
you know, where they just let's just get Mario Odyssey and make it look like shit. Make it look super blocky.
This is our pitch for investment. Our company, Backwards Compatible, is going to make D-makes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like it. I like
first
it a lot.
First one, we've been working on it for about a year now. It's called Cooking Baby. And you want to know what Cooking Mama was doing back when she was a baby? Everyone loves those Indiana Young Jones version remakes. Yep. Well, here we go. Cooking Mama, the origin.
Yep. Exactly.
There was another game that was like because Resident Evil Code Veronica was the what was originally meant to be Resident Evil 3, and right. that hasn't received any form of remaster or remake or whatever. You can buy like the PS2 version on a PS4 these days or whatever, but weird that they wouldn't. I mean, I guess it's less work to do 4 potentially, but that to have this other game in there that they could do another one of these remake style treatments of that they're not going to do seems weird.
Was Code Veronica yeah. successful? Like, did it? Was it a good game? Did people like it? Because I maybe they're just going, oh, we got to bank the cash on these numbered sequels.
I think that's probably it because like it originally came out on the Dreamcast, so it was as successful as that implies it was, I believe.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's almost more reason though because less people have played the original, but also I can understand not wanting to muddy the waters and just keep it to the mainline numbered
sure.
iterations of it. Adam, have you played the remake of Number One, which that came out ages ago? Yeah, that came out a long time ago, right?
Yeah, yeah. I played that like on the GameCube in like the early 2000s.
Do you think that would hold up now? Because I'm kind of interested to go back to it, having really enjoyed 2 and 3.
Yeah, maybe. Hard to say because, you know, it's... But they did those HD versions of it, so I'm sure they're still good. But it is that older style of game with those older controls and all the sort of baggage that comes with that. But I remember it being great at the time.
Okay. I'm keen to give it a go just to have the kind of... Just the completionist in me of that, like... original trilogy now having finished two-thirds of it and kind of seeing the story.
Well, then you got Zero and you got every other Resident Evil game. It's all like available on your PS4 or whatever. And I think they're all on Switch.
Because, you know,
once I
start a story, I really want to be able to see the entirety of it. I don't want to be
new,
left hanging.
Is this a very, very new aspect of your personality, Tommy?
It's a fresh take. It's a fresh coat of paint on an old, on a very old part of my personality.
Oh, okay.
Should we get into our big review for the week?
Yeah.
I think we're all very excited to talk about this.
Yeah, I want to say very quickly before we start, we're talking about the Final Fantasy VII remake. Ben, you're just about to go into the last section when you go past that wall. Is that where you are?
Yes.
You're at that wall.
Yep.
Okay. There's a fair bit left.
Good.
All of which I did for like a full day and night last night to finish this before now. Tommy, you're less far in. You're like 10 hours in, something like that.
Yeah, I'm like 9 hours in. I'm near the end of, Reactor 5.
Okay. Yeah. I finished the game last night, and I just want to quickly say that, like, I won't spoil anything, but weirdly, a review or, like, talking about this game, I think the ending is going to be a big, big, big factor on what people's overall opinion of this game is, because playing through the entire thing, I was like, damn, this is like a 9 out of 10. This is great.
Mm.
And the last parts of the game and the decisions that Square made with this remake have brought my opinion of that a little bit down.
Okay.
That is what I've seen in reviews is,
right.
is the last section is probably the section that drags out the boring aspects of the game the most, or maybe just drags out the game the most in the most egregious way. And that the ending story-wise is questionable, maybe, is the best way to phrase it? Yeah.
It is definitely a choice that they have made with this game that will very... I doubt someone would just kind of let wash over them and be like, oh, yeah, whatever. It is what it is.
Right.
I think everyone who finishes this will have a strong opinion either way on what they've decided to do with the ending of this remake.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think we can go more in depth because I'm getting through it and, you know, having not a ton else on at the moment. Like, I think within a week or two we'll be able to do a full on go deep on it, spoiler chat. But interestingly enough, like, without knowing what the end is, just the... That is, so my big thought of it is, I'm I'm loving it. It's a 9 out of 10 for me. Like you, like similar to you, like in you know, big game of the year contender. Like I can see it being on my list, except for every time I remember the fact that I'm gonna get to the end of this game and it be an incomplete experience, as far as I know about the fact that this is only, you know, chapter one of the rest of this remake. And every time I remember that, it kind of, it really takes the wind out of my sails of how much I'm enjoying it.
Do you
just
know,
the fact that I'm only playing like a segment of a thing, and it's
I had that in the back of my head, the same exact thought whilst playing most of this, and then by the end, my feeling on it is lower than that sense of, you know.
Okay. Well,
I don't want to talk too much about it, and so I reckon the better thing to do. It took me 35 hours to finish it. We'll talk about that last five, like in the future at some point. We'll do like a sealed section thing at the end of an episode or whatever. Yeah. But let's talk about the first 30 hours or so of it, which I really, really enjoyed.
Yeah, I think also we'll say, obviously no spoilers for this game and no spoilers for the old game. I know there are a lot of sort of younger gamers who genuinely haven't played the original and don't know what the twists are to that story, which is like insane, but and lucky for them. But yeah, let's sort of treat this like this is a just a new game that we've...
I guess so. I will say, though, as well, coming into this, you will probably get more out of it if you have played the original Final Fantasy VII.
Absolutely. Yes.
So if you're coming at this and this is the first Final Fantasy thing you've done, I reckon you're not going to quite get what everyone who's loving it is loving it so much for, potentially. Mm.
I agree. I completely agree. There's a lot of... well, that's the thing. This is a great game with an added layer of warm nostalgia that I feel for almost no other thing in pop culture.
Totally. And this is tapping that little gland. This is pushing into whatever that part of my brain is in such a clever and consistent way where it doesn't feel like it's milking it most of the time and going like, fucking remember Aerith? Here she is. Get a load of her fucking dress moving about. Isn't that crazy to see? She ain't triangles no more. But it's actually remixing the original music is probably the strongest thing it's doing constantly throughout. It's providing all this expansion on these things that you enjoyed about that first game in really, really effective ways. The music especially is fucking great in this.
The music's incredible.
Oh, it's so good.
So I'm kind of coming at it from a slightly different position where I've played the original up until I believe where this finishes.
Yeah.
What this is a remake of. So I'm not really having the nostalgia of like, oh cool, this is what I pictured in my head when I was 12 and playing this. I still remember the music from whatever it was 6 months ago that I was playing it, and so you know, it's fresh in my head, so it's like, oh, cool, they've done a reinterpretation of that. But I don't know. I still feel like it's just the world design and the environments and the lighting and the visuals and the character design is just so strong that I'd like, even without it reminding me of something that I hold dear from childhood, I'm still finding all that stuff very impressive.
Yeah, right. You got onto me like very, very soon into playing it and told me that you were loving it, which I was surprised. I was surprised as well that Nox, that you were enjoying it as much as you did for the most part. But I guess for anyone who hasn't played the original or isn't into this game, hasn't been following the story of its development, this is a remake of Final Fantasy VII. Which is a JRPG. It's a seminal JRPG, cyberpunk setting about a band of eco-terrorists fighting against an evil electric power company. What else do you need to know about Final Fantasy VII?
That's pretty much it. It's got like quirky characters and like a weird, interesting world that this, in the best way that a remake can, takes a look at what worked about those things and what didn't and what could be more and what the vibe of those things was, and then makes a whole bunch of new content in that same vein that worked. There are new characters in this, new you know, a lot of new sort of expanded bits of the story, new scenarios and stuff. And almost across the board, they really gel with that world that the original made and do a really great job in just making it a new, more in-depth and detailed version of it. That's really, really fun to explore.
Yeah, I really like how it's got that. It's, you know, feels very fresh and modern, but it still does have that real kind of, in terms of the characters and the storytelling and just the general aesthetic of the world, it still does have that real, like, 90s vibe to it, where if this game didn't exist in the past and it had been made new today, it would be completely different. Or the beats of the story would be different. Like, I feel like it there's something about that very, like, stylistic approach that was very, like, of its time. And also, I guess, kind of kicked off a lot of that sort of style of aesthetic and everything at the time.
Yeah, because what was the original? Original was 97, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, a couple of years later, you got the Matrix. Things start to get very sort of cyberpunky. Obviously, cyberpunk has been around since, like, the 70s and 80s. But I agree. I think the way it's reinterpreted a lot of that stuff and included sort of some 80s elements and retained that weird style is, like, I don't think I've seen a remake in any medium that's done it in as successful a way as Final Fantasy VII Remake has done. Like I think the score is the thing that we all are really amazed by. And obviously it does redoes a lot of the original score in full orchestration. But then some of it's just like a song from the soundtrack to Top Gun. Like, it has these great throwback moments in it still.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just completely in isolation, ignoring Final Fantasy VII, it really sticks so well with its own sort of internal consistency stuff, but also has so much detail in every little part of the game. Mm. Like, so I don't remember seeing a game with this many just unique bits and pieces sitting around the whole place. It's kind of weird how much stuff they put into this to make every little section look completely different. There's none of the, like, oh yeah, there's that fucking bucket from earlier. They've reused
right. Yeah. I mean, it got delayed a bit and there was like not really a certain release date hanging over it. If I remember correctly, Nox, you on the pod for a long time were like skeptical about whether even just part one would ever come out. And as much as like what I was saying before about there being like a question mark over will we see the rest of this. But then, yeah, when you're playing it, it's like, oh yeah, there's so much fucking work has gone into this. Like,
sure.
It all sort of feels justified of like how long this took to come out and how long the rest of it will probably take to develop if there's this much fucking detail in all of it. Like,
yeah.
I can't even comprehend the size of the team and the number of man hours that have to have gone into get it to look this good.
Because the majority of the game is you just sort of moving through linear areas and you know, going to the next thing you need to go to. And then it opens up sometimes to have all these sort of side quests where you've got pretty typical stuff of like, here's this fucking guy who's like, oh, I'm missing these ingredients to my cake. And then you've got to go and cook and mummer them up. And they're generally enjoyable, those things. And they've got enough personality to them that they're quite fun. But so you're moving quite quickly through these environments and not really, you know, spending heaps and heaps of time in them. So it again makes that level of detail seem so lavish, so like extravagant,
right?
The amount of production they've put into it in a way that reminds you of those really detailed rendered backgrounds from the original.
The only one slightly dodgy visual thing I've seen is what's the bit where you're before you get to the reactor when you're in the what's it called? You're like under the plate and you're going through the bays like G and H and
suspended.
And you can kind of see, yeah, and you can see down to the slums beneath you. And I kind of tilted the camera to look, and it's kind of obvious that it's just a texture on a flat surface,
right?
Yes,
and it was just a weird thing where the perspective of it was like slightly off.
I noticed that as well. It's almost curved or something in a strange way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so nitpicky. That's so nitpicky, but like I only bring it up to be like that's the only time in playing it that I've been aware like, oh yeah, that's not real. Like everything right. else is so convincing and so engrossing that it's just like I'm walking through an actual space. Like that's the one time where just because of a very slight thing I've gone like, oh yeah, okay, but what are they meant to do? Fully render an entire fucking thing just below you? Like,
well,
the PlayStation would blow up.
Cause I disagree that it's the only thing, because I think the effect is generally held very well overall by the visuals, and like most of them are great, but there's little bits and pieces all over the place that stand out as being like, oh, there's not a texture on that door. That's fucking weird.
No, I've noticed that as well. I've definitely seen that a lot. Like, like every sort of space has shitty textures, and a lot of the time, 75% of the time that I enter a new space, there's a lot of texture pop in. So,
right,
that is unfortunate, because I do think that the overall aesthetic is perfect. Like artistically, it's perfect. Like the creative direction of it is, I think, genuinely flawless, or at least meshes with my own taste perfectly. So I don't know, like I've been trying to think as I've been experiencing that, like, look, they have to sacrifice some things to get this to run perfectly. They have to sacrifice some textures to make sure that when you're in combat flows perfectly. I've had zero frame rate issues with this game. I've had no hitching or any issues of that nature. So I sort of figure if that's the trade-off, I guess I'll accept that.
Well, because 90% of it is technically very impressive, then those 10% of things that aren't really, really aren't for some reason. There's like weird reflections in parts. There's weird missing seemingly textures in parts. And it's all things that they've tried to make a gambit that you won't notice. But
it
doesn't pay off usually. There is like 1/10 of that world looks like shit, which is a pretty good ratio compared to our world.
Yeah,
and I guess that's just what they've had to do, like you said, Ben, to get it to run that smooth. Which, yeah, the fact that there's no hitches, there's no lags. I mean, I've got to be honest. I haven't. Maybe it's just I'm not as deep in as you guys. I haven't noticed any of the texture stuff. Either it's I guess maybe I'm. Maybe the smoothness of how it's all running is distracting me enough that's just kind of something that
I guess so. When you go into Cloud's kind of
prioritizes
door,
like
Cloud's little apartment that you get in that first town, that door is just like a blue wall. It looks fucking weird.
Right.
So some of it just does look weird, but yeah, it could be the sort of thing that if you're not sensitive to it, you wouldn't notice or whatever, I guess. Maybe me and Ben are just a little bit sensitive. Maybe you're calling us snowflakes yet again.
Because, everything about, like, the music, the voice acting, all of it is just so, like, when I'm playing it, I'm just fully in it. Like, I'm fully convinced that I'm in this world and that I'm on this adventure. Like, I'm not really thinking, like, oh, I'm playing a game. Oh, here's where this is going to come in. It's all of the different elements are just, operating at such a high level that just make it so captivating and so engrossing.
The voice acting as well, I want to talk about that for a bit, because I was really skeptical of it after that demo. It all seemed like a little over the top and a little bit sort of generic anime translation type voice acting where, you know, it almost seems like the actors don't give a shit or something in that setting. And I was completely wrong about that. The voice acting is great across the board. Every single one of them does a great job.
I completely agree. I think Tifa is probably the standout. I think it's a really, really good, endearing performance. It's like it makes Tifa this full character rather than this like side character to Cloud, which she almost sort of felt like in the original and in all of the shitty side media that has existed for Final Fantasy VII. But even like Cloud, whose character is not developed yet at this point. Cloud is giving a good vocal performance, at least. Barrett is surprisingly deep in terms of character.
Right, he gets a wider range of stuff to do, and he nails it all. As much as he is that like over-the-top, like wrestler-style performance, he and all of them manage to go through these very nuanced things when the story calls for it, where you can tell something else is on their mind, but they're, you know, putting on a brave face, whatever.
Yeah.
Also, like,
I mean,
in reference to those other, like, adaptations of Final Fantasy VII, I think they've all been genuinely quite bad. Advent Children was bad. I haven't played some of the spin-off games, but yeah, like the visual upscaling of the characters in this is just incredible. Like,
yeah.
I think every aspect of the adaptation from the original to a high definition, high resolution remake is done really, really well.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that they've basically kept like the proportions of the character design and everything for all their kind of like weird 90s
take on cyberpunk. I love that they've kept those proportions. Let me tell you. Those proportions
Barrett's
just
big
right.
Arms. Woo.
But it's easy to see a thing where they completely scale it back and build it from scratch. And I like the really over the top, like it's kind of what I was talking about before with the like very 90s approach to the design. I like that they've just made the characters all look the same in terms of the dimensions of how they're all laid out, but they're just like more realistic looking. Like you can imagine a world where they make this and Cloud doesn't have the big pointy hair and he doesn't have a sword that's so comically oversized, and Barrett's dimensions compared to everyone else aren't, you know, three times the size, you know, where they try and that there's, yeah, one little area that sticks out for me as a slight, I guess, negative is in the slums, at least, like a lot of the NPC character design is just kind of weirdly bland. Like you've got these... The character designs of the original characters are so impressive and unique. And then there's like a lot of people walking around the slums that just look like background characters in GTA. There's just like a guy with a shaved head and a hoodie that's just like, this doesn't look like it's from the same world as the cunt with a machine gun for an arm. Like,
it's weird to walk past like the fucking dude on his way to work with a backpack with your sword that is the size of your body. And he's not like, what the fuck is that sword? He's just like, oh,
I think right. It's very
the costume
anime
design and everything.
Right.
It's very like, think about like Dragon Ball Z or something like that, where it's like a lot of the time they go through a city and it's like, oh, that's like a normal Japanese city with people going to work, and yet you've got Goku over here with his crazy blonde hair.
Nobody's like, ever going like, hey, Yu-Gi-Oh, you need to get a fucking haircut, man.
Yes.
You look like an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what it is. It is almost like anachronistic, but in that over the top anime way, which I feel like this remake if it does differ in any way from the original, leans much more heavily into being a crazy anime sort of world and story.
I agree. It's like goofy a lot of the time. It is being deliberately kind of silly and dumb and fun most of the time, which, you know, there's the more sort of serious moments that it tries to do where, you know, things go wrong or whatever, which generally work as well. Like the story for that first 90% of the game, again, it's 90% great and 10% is like so fucking weird with almost every aspect of this game that, but yes, while the story is like holding together for that first most of the game, it is paced really well. It's delivered really well by all the actors. It's a good reimagining of that first section of the story from the original game.
And I'm not as familiar with the story of the original as you guys are, but I'm not finding it. A big thing I read beforehand was that there was a lot of filler throughout the game to get it up to this length. I'm 9 hours in and I can definitely tell where there's like new sections added in. But I'm just enjoying everything I'm doing. I'm not finding anything to be a slog. Some side quests and stuff, like having to go and gather cats, but it's a bit
come.
Like, ugh.
The filler
optional
stuff is on its way, don't worry.
Yeah, right. It's much later on, and it definitely increases exponentially.
There's two major spots of like the trains, and there's one right at the end that I was like bored by the game.
Because the trains was pretty boring, yeah.
Yeah. It's just these extended sections of like sort of separate, like, well, we've got a big thing to be going to do right now. and it's very important that we're there. But in the meantime, I guess I'll do this fucking shit combat with these uninteresting enemies that are nothing to do. And the combat isn't shit. It's just those enemies I didn't like in the train yard.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the train graveyard I remember as being my least favorite part of the original game.
Right.
So I was kind of weirdly braced for that section anyway.
There's a new bit further on that is worse than that bit, for sure.
Yeah, right.
But in general, like, I think the one negative with the combat that I had with the train yard is there are some enemies that require a certain type of magic or a certain technique that can get quite annoying if you're not, like, always got the assess materia equipped and you know exactly what to do with those enemies. But in general, the combat in this game is so fun.
It's incredibly good.
It's awesome.
I we've played similar styles of combat in like fucking Kingdom Hearts 3 and Final Fantasy 15. It reminds me a bit of like a Devil May Cry, something like that, because it's so almost hack and slashy, very fast paced. But I don't think I've played a game with combat, real time combat, as well executed and well balanced as this. It's become second nature. It's so incredibly fun to play.
It's really.
This was my biggest skepticism about this. I didn't really gel with the combat in Kingdom Hearts or in Final Fantasy 15, and I really thought I just wasn't. You know, we've been talking about this for a little while now, and seeing preview stuff. I just really thought I wasn't going to be able to enjoy it. Like, I thought I would want to enjoy it, but not be able to like it because of this element. And then now it's my favorite element of it.
It's the The how similar it is to those sort of games like Devil May Cry kind of threw me for a while, because I was trying to dodge or block like right as the attack came in, which you have to do a lot earlier than for this one. But once you get your head around exactly sort of how it's set up and the way the combat works, it really is fun. Positioning is a big deal a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Keeping track of your other two party members, knowing which one to be in control of at the time. The smart ways that it, like, if you're in control of a party member, their sort of active time battle thing fills up, so they'll get to use an ability quicker than the others. So knowing whose ability is going to be the most important one next and switching to that person sometimes, and knowing whose combat skills are the most effective against each enemy. There's so much to think about, and it's really, really fun to execute every time.
Yeah. Completely. The way that it's integrated the materia system as well. Like, all of that, like the original weapons, the original armor, but then with the new additions, the little tweaks, the stuff that has been introduced to fit a real-time combat, situation is also really fun. And all still is like the same vibe as the original stuff.
Yeah.
It's really that mix of hack and slash, magic, items, the abilities, which is a brand, like, it's not even referencing anything in the original, is just a genius introduction. I don't know if that is, I guess you've got like sort of like abilities and power-ups and buffs and stuff in other similar games, but it's just done so well in this.
You've always got something to be planning for in the next sort of, you know, coming up, but then also the moment-to-moment stuff feels good, because the animation and the way everything controls in combat is so well done. Every single character feels fun to fight with.
Yeah, the voice acting, like the characters talking to each other in battle, even though they're repeating a lot of the same stuff, like just even that, like even like Barrett's performance being so over the top, but when you're in battle and he's like screaming at you and Cloud's being a bit of a smart ass back to him, it's like, it's pretty simple stuff, but it just makes it feel so alive. Like it really adds to it so much.
Yeah, it feels very fun to do, and like having the impetus to switch between different weapons, because if you have each one equipped, you get a different skill, and then you do that skill enough, you get to have that ability. That's clever. It's got a huge amount of variety to it with the different types of enemies you fight, and they've all got a pretty different way you've got to approach them. And it can be frustrating to figure out that way, because it isn't made too apparent a lot of the time, and it just feels like you're fucking...
Yeah, I didn't really even know that until you said it.
It, more so with bigger enemies and bosses and stuff that come along later, but there can be times where it feels like you are just fucking punching a brick wall until you realize, like, oh, this dumbass crab is weak to ice for some reason.
Right, right.
Like, I guess if you froze a crab, it would hurt the crab, But they can come back to life after that. You can put, I've seen rich people have lobsters in freezers, and then you pull the lobster out of the freezer and it's just still alive, which says everything you need to know about the rich. They're cool and they own me. But yeah, the combat is probably the best part of this game consistently throughout. That it's I was never like, oh, another fucking battle or whatever.
Right, yeah. I mean, in turn-based stuff and when the in a more traditional JRPG where the battles are kind of random and you're just walking through an environment and they pop up, it's often like quite frustrating because you feel on the back personally, I find them a bit frustrating because you're often on the back foot. You're trying to get from A to B, especially if you're backtracking and you're just trying to work out where an item is or a puzzle or whatever, and you're having to like wade through all these things that are just forced on you. Whereas this, it's like, I'm wrapped when I get into a thing where I see a big mech coming at me or whatever it is.
Right.
Yeah, I think in the original game, I loved just running around those environments, the mat sort of drawings. My favorite aspects were exploring the story through those areas and the score and coming across a random battle was always frustrating in the original. In this version, I honestly, like, I think baseline, I love the combat so much that it makes the exploring feel slow and boring in comparison, not, you know, in general, right, but in comparison. I wish, you know, this is probably hyperbole, but I wish the entire game story played out as combat was continuing almost. Like, those hub sections really do feel slow.
They can drag a little bit. The bits where it kind of starts to do something closer to like a traditional, like a dungeon or whatever you would get in a normal game, they feel, they're the bits where it gets a little dull.
Right.
When you're running from place to place or you're doing something that, like, I guess you could describe as a puzzle, but it isn't a fucking puzzle because there's no question of what you need to do.
Yeah.
I was running around last night switching off all the sun lamps. And right. I mean, it all looks great and the I guess that was like my first section of that I've gotten up to, so it hasn't worn thin for me yet, that I just being in the vibe of it, I don't really mind, even though I wasn't really doing all that much combat. But yeah, it was just like going from A to B and flicking a switch. Like, there was no degree of challenge or problem solving or anything like that. It was just like, oh, I guess I've just got to walk along platforms until I work out where I just end up in the right place, kind of almost by accident.
It's always the thing that drags for me in games is when you know what you have to do, but the game makes you take longer than it should to do it.
That's
always a bit frustrating.
Like walking along a platform and the platform falls out just before you walk on it. Right. So it's like, oh, you've got to walk the long way around. It's like, why? That's not fun.
Why the fuck do you make me shimmy when I can't fall? I'm just watching a slow fucking animation. And I guess you're loading something, which good for you, but fuck off. Give me a loading screen so I can get my phone out.
Then die because it loads me automatically into a battle and I haven't been paying attention.
But yeah, those sections, sort of like the introductory section where you're just barreling through all of these new rooms and new places and new visuals while just going from combat to combat to combat, is where it shines the most. It's so fun to do that. It feels so propulsive and you're getting all this story and character stuff thrown at you as you go rather than, sort of segmenting it.
And then after that, when you get one of these cutscenes that are really well made, they're like kind of, it reminds me of Metal Gear Solid in a number of ways where it's got this very sort of handheld cam, you know, look to it a lot of the time in the cutscenes. It really, really works. It reminds me of Metal Gear Solid in a lot of ways. I cannot wait to talk about the full extent of this game because as positive as we've been and as generally, like, it is most of the time a 9 out of 10 game. It is very, very good at most of the things it does with a couple of slight annoyances that are more than easy to look past. And that last few hours of the game brought it down to like a 7 for me.
Okay.
That's very interesting. Because I think we all really enjoyed Final Fantasy 15, and the last probably quarter to third of it was a hell of a slog.
And
it was so messy. The story was all over the shop. It was clearly like padded out and poorly made almost.
Yep.
But I still loved it. I think it was still my favorite game of the year. I loved that one too.
But like, there's no way to talk about it without it being spoilers and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel almost like even addressing it is in itself like, or there's something coming, which I don't generally think is the right thing to do. But it is worth noting that there is an element to this that is not, in my opinion, positive. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of, when I loaded it up, I was, like having played the demo a couple of weeks ago, and you know you can't transfer your progress over. At first, I was like, oh man, what a drainer! I have to do this again that I like just did the other day. But then within a couple of minutes of starting it up, I was like, yeah, I don't care. I'm rapt to get to do this again. And I think that was like the best like indication of just how good it is. Like playing through the exact same segment maybe a week later didn't really bother me at all. Like I have been treating it as like, yeah, I feel it's so cinematic. Like I feel like I'm watching a bit of a cool movie before bed every night. And it, even though a lot of times in games where you're spending a lot of your time watching cutscenes or just kind of walking around, not really doing all that much game-wise, I tend to feel like, oh, well, you know, what's the point of this? But with this, I'm not minding at all. Like, it all is so polished and great that, yeah, at the moment, I'm loving it.
It's yeah.
It's the highlight of my very dull days at the moment, which sure is true for a lot of people.
And also, it's very long. It is a full, complete game. It's 35 hours it took me, which is what generally a Final Fantasy game is.
Yeah.
It definitely is that. It certainly doesn't feel like part one of a series in that way. And yeah, look, to people who might be thinking of, like, I don't know, dude, I really, really want to talk about the ending stuff. So we'll do that later. As a recommendation, as a product or whatever, I think it's still very easy to recommend. It's a very good time for the time that it's good. I really want to talk about the ending. I almost want to like tell you guys to hang up, and I'll just like, for anyone who wants to hear, just explain what the fuck I'm talking about. But I won't do that. You can find out that stuff anywhere if you're interested too, and if it might influence what you think.
And we'll do it as a group. We'll pick it apart.
We will.
We might even enjoy it. Like, I don't know how
we might have different opinions feel about on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Completely.
Do you have any idea what it is? Like, do you have any idea what people are talking about, or just that there's something?
Just that there's something. I mean, there's already differences to the story and the way the story is presented.
Right.
And things that are hinted at that I don't know how I feel about, you know, yet. Because
within the first hour, and this is very different to the first game, within the first hour, which isn't a spoiler, Sephiroth is already around. Mm. Like, it's already doing stuff with that.
Yeah,
you
get a flashback that you don't get in the original game until, you know, halfway through. Yeah, if not later than that. So
there's a completely new element in those little fucking ghost things.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's the thing where I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, and I don't know if I like it.
Yeah.
Mostly I haven't liked it.
Yeah, cool.
I'm very curious to see what happens with it. But in terms of the other
stuff, I want to talk to you about it. Finish it off tonight, please.
Yeah,
force yourself through the rest of it.
I'll probably finish it tomorrow, so I'll message you when I finish it.
Yeah, you find it better. It's so funny. All right,
I'm sure that I will be messaging you when I finish it. In terms of other stuff that we've liked so far, I love all the new bosses. I love the design of the new bosses. Again, just the way that they have done this combat and integrated it with new elements and old elements, and it's just so fun. Like, so I'm at the stage before you basically go over up the wall in the original game. I don't know, you know, what's changed after that. And I'm in a section where there's like, you know, 15 subquests, and I've done all of them, and I'm like running around just like finishing off the battle, battle intel stuff. Like I'm doing every possible thing I can do in this game because it is just so fun to do.
There's like combat Colosseum things that I intend to go back to, because they're very, very fun. And the game does give you, I don't think this is a spoiler at all, like a chapter select afterwards. So it's like, if you have stuff you want to finish off, you can go back to these chapters and do that, because there are a couple of them where, depending on choices you make, it will give you some side quests and then lock you out of others.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are extra side quests that you can go back and do afterwards if you feel so inclined, which I think I will, because the gameplay of this game I've really, really enjoyed. The combat is great.
Mm.
Cool.
All right. Well, should we wrap it up for now? We'll talk more about this as we finish it, because also this is kind of it for AAA releases in for the next little while.
There was a new XCOM game announced. We didn't talk about that, but I don't think any of us care about it. Gears Tactics is coming. You're not excited for Gears Tactics?
I'll play Gears Tactics. I mean, there's still Persona 5 Royal, which I want to say I am dipping back in every now and then. It's great. It's better than the original game in every way. It's polished. This changes to the music and the sounds are better. There's more anime cutscenes. I'm enjoying every element of Persona 5 Royal more than
you had
I was
me at more anime cutscenes. That's all I want.
But that's a great game, and it's a great game that's being made better and is very, very long. So I'm definitely going to be playing that more after I finish Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yep.
Same. All right, guys. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to our socials and everything. We've got the Patreon. You can get a bonus episode of this every week. We've got premium episodes up on our Bandcamp, and we've got our YouTube Let's Plays that you can go and have a look at. Thanks very much for listening to the show. We'll see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every edition of Filthy Casuals...
Da 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 da. I feel so embarrassed. I knew I was going to do it, but I'd got the wrong key and I just hated doing it. I didn't want to commit fully, as usual.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.